This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, but we were just doing our question of the day. What's the least macho thing that you do? And I missed this one, and I really wanted to read it because it's a good one. It might be a winner, in fact, from the 281. They said, I'm a dog guy, always had big dogs, rescued a stray chihuahua, and now I'm that annoying girl that carries her dog in her purse everywhere she goes. In fact, yeah. So
I actually don't mind that.
Yeah,
really? I don't mind that.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I don't mind it. Like I like big dogs too, mm-hmm. to a certain point, mm-hmm. but I'd rather have the smaller.
No, I'm a big dogs, dog guy. But I don't mind in the dog bag.
Like not letting that sucker walk. Just carrying them in right here underneath your arm.
Well, nah. There is a line, I guess.
Nah, we got to walk in the rain together.
That's what I'm saying.
Me and Stanley was out in the rain. I ain't put no coat or nothing on him, man.
That's right.
You're a man.
You're a boy dog.
We got to be a man.
You're crazy.
A man.
Right. All right. From that dog to, I guess, the dog pound in a way as we go around the NFL, the Browns made it known today that they are parting ways with Juan Thornhill, safety Juan Thornhill, obviously known more, I imagine, for playing with the Kansas City Chiefs and winning a Super Bowl there. Last two seasons, he has been with the Cleveland Browns. And last year in particular, you saw his kind of play go down a mm-hmm. little bit. And I think you already know what the next question is as
nope.
we bring this back home.
Nope.
Figgy is a Cleveland guy. I imagine you at least keep like half an eye over up there. You're out on Juan Thornhill.
No, and the thing is, like, I just seen so many people tweet about this guy. Like, man, get this guy off the field.
Yeah.
He sucks. Like, they paid him this money. I heard nothing but bad things about his play.
I won't go that far because I don't plug in on every single moment of a Browns game.
Why not?
Obviously, but
why not?
For obvious reasons. But I'm with Figgy in terms of like his reaction, and I feel like it'll just be something of a lateral move. You know?
He only played 11 games the last two seasons, both of those obviously the two seasons that he was in Cleveland. And I think one of the things that was kind of tough, and especially with defensive players, I'll utilize PFF because there's not enough mm-hmm. like strong defensive
That's
statistics.
All you got. Yeah.
Right. So of course the ever present caveat with PFF, it is subjective and, you know, take it for what you will. However, if you look year over year grades, obviously when he was with Kansas City, he was a really intriguing prospect. He did some really good things for them. And then as a free agent, he goes to Cleveland. I mean, the grades that he had on tackling in 2023, his first year in Cleveland, mm-hmm. he was a 76, which is a pretty good grade. You know, coverage was still kind of a little bit lower than the 75 that he had the previous year. He went down to a 62.5. Then last year, that's coverage grade stayed in those mid to low 60s, and his tackling went down to a 45. So I don't know exactly what happened to him.
Yeah.
However, it seems like he had a very, at least a down season, and obviously that leads to the parting of ways for him.
But you're not interested at all in the idea of, hey, someone who has a little bit of coverage and who at least we have seen play at a very high level at points in his career, and he is 29 years of age.
Ooh. Yeah, MJ Stewart thinks that's cute.
Wow.
That's yeah, that's where I am with that. But you know what? Since we're on the Browns, let's jump to the other one real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Browns are, you know, part of me is like, okay, you know, who knows what they're doing there. But you saw that what the Rams are doing?
Yeah, the Rams have been, it's been obvious that, hey, man, that's a possibility of a trade. I remember last week I was talking to you about the possibility of, hey, what does it look like if Matthew Stafford is the quarterback of the Giants? Mm-hmm. And that is one of the names that has come up now that the Rams have allowed Matthew Stafford to talk to other teams to possibly, you know, negotiate a trade. And so Giants, Steelers, Raiders, Browns.
That's where I'm going.
Are the teams that seemingly have been brought up as possible destinations for Matt Stafford.
What in the world? Because Matthew Stafford, I mean, the contract alone and who knows what else he's going to be able to. What are the Browns doing?
Trying to get somebody they can play?
It seemed like they're trying to keep that window open.
How are they going to pay everything?
Very carefully.
I have no idea.
And it is worth noting that they, of course, they did a restructure of Deshaun Watson's contract. Obviously, that's the big boulder, the big elephant in the room. And they've done a little bit of restructuring of his contract to make it a little bit easier to swallow, right? Obviously, before it was downright impossible to eat. And now it's a little bit more tenable. But this is the thing, right? I think this speaks more to the current situation if you are a quarterback needy team. There's not a great place to go for it. And I think that speaks to the next thing we'll talk about, but the draft quarterbacks, there's not that high-level quarterback that you can go get. There are some guys out there that maybe you're willing to take a shot on. One of those is your guy, Jackson Dart, but it doesn't feel like you have a guy, any of those guys that you feel very confident are going to be not just solid, but any level of like game-changing type quarterbacks in this draft. So it's not like, all right, we're going to trade up and get our guy in the draft. Free agency wise, the big name is Sam Darnold, and outside of that, like, are there very many free agent quarterbacks that appeal to you? And also, again, it's a small pool, so the market is going to make it tough, and you might have to overpay for a guy who is probably profiles more as a stopgap quarterback, or you can give up a little bit of capital to go and get somebody who you know and you feel comfortable with will be able to come in and give you what you need. And that's a team that is desperate to have something go right for them.
Yeah,
anything go right.
They're not trying to tear it down already.
Are they doing this for Myles Garrett?
It's got to be,
right?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I mean, really, this is one of those situations where it's like, I hope you're doing it for you. Like when people like are showering, right? Like going, oh man, I took a shower. It's like, I hope that you're doing that for you. Do it for the lady too, right? The lady will appreciate, and maybe you'll be able to keep her around. But you should do that for you. And I feel like that's where it is with the Browns.
Yeah,
you should get a quarterback for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like they still trying to win. They need a I don't want to call Matthew Stafford a stopgap quarterback.
Well, he's 37.
But, yeah, so it's very stopgap.
They are trying to get a quarterback that can probably win now and maybe draft a quarterback later on to sit behind him.
I'm sorry. I forgot the top quarterback in the free agent market. That's my bad. Mm. Aaron Rodgers is the top quarterback in the free agent market.
That's Sam somebody Darnold. They should stay away from.
Listen how quickly this falls off. Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston.
It's already kind of falling.
Jacoby Brissett.
Well, it's falling.
McCorkle Jones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, McCorkle.
Josh Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Lance. Do I have to keep going?
No,
okay,
no,
all right.
No,
like, yeah, it's just there's not a lot of them out there. So I understand why they would try and go get them this way. Real quick before we move on, though, like, which one of those do you feel like you like the best as a pairing for Matt Stafford between the Giants, the Steelers, the Raiders, and the Browns?
I feel like the Raiders might be something. You know, obviously new coach, you know, they're a team that obviously in a horrendous division, but they need to do something in Las Vegas. So how about you?
I kind of lean towards the Steelers. Mm-hmm. It just, again, feels like you're going to have a good defense. At least you got one dude to throw the ball to, although he is a knucklehead of some sorts. I also wonder, though, thinking about it, Matthew Stafford is a University of Georgia alum. Played in Detroit in a dome, although he obviously that means that you play in the NFC North, and has played in Los Angeles for a while.
Mm-hmm.
is it smart to go and play outdoors
in the cold,
again? Yeah. Like, is that especially at 37? Is that the smart way to go?
Because no,
it might be smart in that regard to go and look at the one team that plays indoors and in a relatively temperate climate, which is, well, not even relatively, but the Las Vegas Raiders, where at least you got a couple of tight ends that you like. I don't know about wide receivers, but then you also bring in Chip Kelly. Hopefully, can put together an offense that you like and that works pretty well. Like, maybe that is the way to go about that, because the other ones, I don't know how much I love them.
And he's going to get traded. You know, and anytime they allow a player to, you know, search options, that player gets traded. So he's going to be moved.
All right, so Shedeur Sanders is not going to work out for teams at the Combine. I believe the reporting does indicate, though, that he will be there and go through some of the other situations, like obviously interviews and such. Still unknown if he does medicals and whatever. I think that obviously it's to be expected that he's going to throw at Colorado's Pro Day. And this all seems to track. Like, I only bring this up because it is, like, he is the big name quarterback outside of Cam Ward in this draft. However, this all feels very obvious for some of the reasons I was talking about. If you want a quarterback, you better go get him. Like, and teams also aren't really doing, I don't think that they're evaluating a ton off of these workouts. I think that a lot of this they're getting off of, like, tape and such. Are they not?
The only, yes, 100%. It's mostly interviews. Maybe for certain positions, it's more the drills and such, but mostly interviews. I would highly recommend that he not throw. And Cam Ward, to be honest, as well. It may not be as good for us, but those are the top two quarterbacks in a very thin quarterback class. You know, it does open the door for Jackson Dart, for Taylor Shook. And those guys to maybe show something.
What are you doing with Taylor Shuck?
Yeah.
Hey, man, shout out to Taylor Shuck.
He's getting some run.
And maybe this might be a blind spot for me, being someone who really likes college football, because sometimes you get some of these guys that'll come through and I'm like, ain't no way that's an NFL quarterback. Like, that's a good college quarterback, but ain't no way. And Tyler Shuck is one of those guys. Saw him at Texas Tech, not all that impressed. Went to Louisville and he got some winning and none, but I was like, I don't know, man. Y'all want
to But
do
I'm saying
NFL
the whole, it opens the door for those guys to at least.
At least have a day in the sun.
Gain a narrative. No, gain. Somebody's going to say, oh, you know, he did such and such.
Because we got to do it, right? When we put on the combine, if somebody's the best guy out there, at least we will talk about him as the best guy out there, right?
Yeah. I think it's good for Dart. I think it's absolutely good for Dart.
Now, you mentioned the NFL Combine. Today is the start of Combine Week. Mm-hmm. And it feels like we're not actually going to get, like, real effective actual workouts until later in the week.
Thursday, yeah.
But they're out there, man. Like, the teams have descended upon there. The players are there. And obviously, the big things that teams are looking for is interviews and medicals, when they can get those types of things there. But then also a conferring of ideas. You have all these people in a singular place. Sometimes things can shake. So I'm interested in seeing, like, what kind of things might come out of this possible deals get done, maybe trade wise or maybe, you know, free agency wise. What kind of news do we get out of this? Because this ends up being a really big week.
It's a convention. It's a convention, and people talk at conventions, and people look for deals to be made at conventions. That's what it is, and that's what we're going to be. We'll gain some intel, so to speak, of so and so was talking to so and so about this player and that player, and that's basically it as far as the player's concerned. The interviews are going to be, you know, by and large, what they're looking at.
And to that end, we're going to be hearing from both D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio next week. I believe it's D'Amico on
Tuesday, tomorrow.
And then Caserio, I believe, is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
Around the same time, about 12:15. So we'll try and get that turned around and hear, or at least get some, you know, some ideas of what was said by your Texans decision makers out there in Indy. All right. And then, one more thing, I guess, before we go, or maybe not one, maybe a couple of things here. The NFL, this is also part of, like, the when they get together and the meet for things. Apparently, they're considering changes to your favorite play in football, the kickoff, the dynamic kickoff.
I thought it would
instituted.
Be.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way.
I don't know.
Bathroom break.
Yeah.
They're still holding this up as a success, right? They said that it led to a 57% rise in returns, as well as a lower injury rate. So obviously for the NFL's purposes, they will hold this up as a success. I wonder what the rise would have had to be for them to not hold it up as a success,
right,
to be fair.
Yeah.
But some of the things that they're considering, and they're not beholden to just this. It seems like they're relatively open. But Falcons CEO Rich McKay told reporters Sunday that the group is considering changes that they would hope lead to even more returns. So the likes of maybe awarding possession after a touchback at the 35-yard line.
Now we're talking.
Instead of just the 30, to further prohibit or further disincentivize is the word I should use here. Kickers from kicking out of the back of the end zone and then putting it in play and allowing there to be a return. some other things that are maybe possible is also trying to figure out, and I don't see any level of reporting onto what it would be, but figure out a way to bring that surprise element for the onside kick back, because that was one of the big things you lamented.
Yeah, that part, that's a tough one to do if you're going to keep the bones of the kickoff the same. But I will say, I think just moving it that extra 5 yards to the 35, I think what I thought might happen last year is more likely to happen this coming season if it does change. You know,
because I mean, at the 35,
more returns,
at the 35, you're what, like 30 yards away from field goal range?
Field goal range, right,
like,
off the top.
One good pass and boom, we can get three from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely going to be more likely to have, what'd they say, 56%, maybe 62, 63, somewhere in there. And that means a chance for better excitement.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do there. We'll see if they actually make something shake in that regard. I imagine that they will. It seems like they've been pretty progressive on these things. And it seems like they'd be doing tweaks as opposed to like an overhaul in any way. Although, like, I don't know what the answer is on the onside kick.
I don't either.
I mean, I've always, when we were talking about reforming kickoffs, I've always been fond of the Schiano plan, which is just, hey, this is a 4th and 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so you can go and punt it, and that is the turn, you know, that is that kicking off to the other team. But in the instance that you actually want to be able to try and keep the ball, you can come out with your offense. You can lean on the thing that is, you know, football in all senses, which is get your quarterback, throw the football, or run the football if you feel like you can pick it up 15. I don't think that's something that you can do here, but I'm interested to see what they come up with as like an onside solution.
Yeah, that's a tough that's a hard one, and we've all thought about it. And you know, outside of running a play, you know, which would make it very, very obvious, you know, there's not much you can do.
Yeah, because, I mean, with the way that the kickoff goes, like, you can't get that 10 yards and get it, especially if everybody knows it's coming. Just the success rate is so incredibly low. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Oh, man, it feels weird. Like, our national contest is over, so I don't have anything to alert you in that way. But I do, I guess, remind you of the fellas being out in West Palm Beach for spring baseball. Shout out to Sean, Seth, and Adam Spillane, who are out there in West Palm Beach, courtesy of Exclusive Furniture and Academy of Sports and Outdoors. They're giving you all what they see and hear on the ground. Unfortunately, today, not a lot to see and hear, as the game today has been rained out for the Astros versus the Marlins. Renel Blanco, who is the presumptive starter, who is the expected starter, was supposed to go today. He will go tomorrow. So at least we'll get this chance to see Renel get his stuff going. But regardless, baseball don't stop, work don't stop. So coming up next, let's talk to Baseball Spo about what's happening out there and maybe what he thinks about the Nolan Arenado scuttlebutt. We'll talk about that next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitua.
That's right. He is joining us live from West Palm Beach. His name is Adam Spillane, and we like to call him Baseball Spo. What's happening, my man?
Hey, guys.
I see you do that every time. I feel like I do like the whole build up, and I'm not like the super build up guy, but I'm like, all right, we're about to get there, and then you're just like, hi
man.
All right, so you went into the clubhouse today, and it seems like you got a chance to talk to, you know, the manager, and I think importantly, we heard from Lance McCullers. What was your main takeaway from McCullers? Because the McCullers thing, as you know, is one of those things that we're all hesitant to put our trust in. What was your main takeaway from meeting with Lance?
Yeah, I think that he is cautiously optimistic. And I think that's kind of the approach that everybody is taking right now, is that they are cautiously optimistic that he is going to be able to make a return. And today was important because he checked a box. And that box is that he is now done with throwing bullpens, and now he can go on to facing hitters. And so this weekend he will throw his first live BP. I think they are hoping... I think that he's probably hoping that he'll need 2, maybe 3, and then maybe at that point he'll be able to pitch into games. But yeah, they've been down this road before, and I think right now they're in a really good place with it. Velocity is he's happy with where the velocity is. I don't think he cares about the velocity right now, but I think that for the most part he is good with where he is at this point.
Wait, and what's the significance when we're talking about velocity there?
I think it just shows it indicates that he's healthy. One of the things that he talked about was how he was actually throwing harder right now than he was when he was healthy in 2021, you know, when he was coming off of a healthy offseason. But so while he's not really worried about the velocity, he's happy that he's, like, not going out there going max effort and throwing only 85. Like,
yeah.
He's still 88, 91. So I think that's a really positive step for him.
Now, you know, I know everyone knows it's not so much him getting out there or even live BP. It's the repetitiveness of it and how he responds, yeah, and all that. Did he say anything about throwing curveballs and that?
Yeah, he's throwing all his pitches. He threw all of his pitches today. And I think that he's also – the other thing that he said was that he's got, like, a feel for all of his pitches too. And when you've been away for as long as he has, you can very easily lose your feel for those pitches. But he said that not only is he throwing, you know, his changeup and his curveball and his slider, but he's got really good feel for those pitches right now.
All right, so what the hell happened with some of these guys out here? We got Dubin. We got Pedro Leon. We have both of them dealing with some injury stuff. What's going on?
Yeah, normal camp type injuries. I think the Dubin one is, it seems somewhat serious. Sean Dubin is a guy who I think was probably had a really good chance of making the team out of camp. He's a reliever who doesn't have options, so that kind of gives you a leg up on the rest of the competition when it comes to making the team. He had a shoulder thing at the start of camp. He tried to throw yesterday. That didn't feel good. So they have sent him back to Houston, where he'll be examined by doctors back in Houston. Leon, they don't think it's serious. It's a knee thing. It happened sliding the other day. But he's a guy who has an opportunity to make the team as an outfielder, and so it looks like he's going to be out for. I don't know how serious it is. He's having an MRI, but he's staying in Florida to have the MRI, so that would make it seem like it's not that big a deal. Then the other one is Taylor Trammell, who again was going to compete for one of those outfield spots, and it looks like he's going to be down for a little while. I think he's got an oblique thing, so. Like there are outfield jobs to be had and position player jobs to be had on this team, and you've got a couple of guys who are down right now, and that might impact their ability to make the club coming out of spring.
Well, one of them that might not be open for long is second base. Nolan Arenado, of course, things are back in the mix. Where do you think that stands right now, and Paredes going to second base?
It still seems incredibly unlikely at this point. We'll have to wait and see what happens here in the next few days. Who knows where the Cardinals are, because it feels like the Cardinals don't want to just do a salary dump. They want to actually get some players that might help them for Arenado. I don't think the Astros, A, have the ability to meet that demand, or B, really want to meet that demand when you consider just like what their farm system looks like, and I don't know if they want to be trading guys off the major league roster. So I would be surprised still at the Arenado thing. I will say another former Rocky who is in camp right now and is vying for one of those infield spots is Brendan Rodgers. And, you know, Rodgers is a guy who was drafted third overall by the Rockies in 15. I talked to him for a little bit today. He seems very motivated after how things ended for him in Colorado. It's a guy who won a Gold Glove in 2022, was hurt in 2023, had kind of an average year last year. That's somebody that you can really that is interesting to me moving forward, just because you've got kind of that track record of being a really high pick, so you know there's some tools there. He's somebody that the Astros have liked. And again, I do think that having a little chip on your shoulder always helps when you're coming in, when you're going to a new team. That's somebody, Brent, I think Rodgers is going to wind up. He told me that he thought that he would play tomorrow. I don't know if things might change because of the weather and today's game getting postponed, but that's somebody to watch here in camp.
My bad. Didn't mean to step on you there. We're talking to Adam Spillane, live from West Palm Beach, talking a little spring baseball here in the loop. We're going to talk to you a couple times this week, I imagine. And so what I'm going to ask you to do in every instance, based off of whatever you have and whatever you can you give me a power ranking of second base, the depth chart right now, from your perspective?
I would say it's probably Dubon 1, Rodgers 2, Luis Guillorme 3, and then maybe Zach Short 4.
Okay.
The other thing with the Arenado trade, and we were talking about it, or potential trade, we were talking about it earlier. Like, to me, it tells me that Jose Altuve, and you've mentioned this, was going to go to the outfield no matter what, which is kind of good news, meaning he went into the offseason working on the outfield, right?
Yeah, I think one thing is that there was a line of communication between the Astros and Altuve about this whole thing. This wasn't something that was just sprung on him like you saw in Boston with Rafael Devers, where Devers seemed to be completely taken out of the blue that he might not be the third baseman for the Red Sox after the Bregman thing. So I think the fact that there has been communication between the Astros and Altuve, I think he certainly knew that this was certainly going to be a possibility. And obviously it's something that he's been open to. And I think that when you look at how he played the position last year, it's a move that was going to have to be made at some point. So you might as well get it out of the way now, see if he's comfortable with it, and then move forward from there. But yeah, I think that he definitely went into the winter understanding that there was a good chance that he would be getting some reps out in the outfield at some point.
All right, so you obviously being on the ground, one of the benefits of it is that you're physically there, you're in the space. Can you generally just kind of give me a vibes check? How did you feel going into the clubhouse?
I mean, I think that there's an optimistic feel to the group. I think that whenever you are at this point of the season, everyone's happy and excited to be in camp. I think that everybody, there are certain guys on this team that I think probably feel like they have something to prove, especially the guys that are new. So, and then you've got a bunch of pitchers who are either trying to get back or trying to make names for themselves. So it is a team that's in a very different position from where it has been over the last, you know, three, four, five, 6 years. They aren't the favorites to win the World Series anymore. I don't think they have that World Series or bust mentality, but they do have the feeling of a team that expects to be good. They're going to go out and compete, and if they can get to October, then everyone's great, but I don't think that they have those same lofty expectations now as they have in the past.
Speaking of this time of year, at this time of year, you always get somebody. There's always one who is in the best shape of their lives.
Oh, yeah.
And in this instance, that is John Singleton. Can you confirm or deny?
Yes. Yes. The arms stand out. I think he spent the entire, like, he was trending in that direction last year. Like, we started to notice last year, like, hey, he's in better shape now than he was in the past. And yeah, you can tell right now that body has been transformed here over the winter. Yeah, so you've heard it over the last week or so, and I can confirm. Yeah, John Singleton, he looks very different now than he did last year.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture right now. He definitely does. I don't know what that's going
to
mean.
Yeah, what's the optimism level that leads to anything? Because he's out of options as well. There's a number of guys that are out of options, and he's going to need to be useful to this team in order to maintain a spot. And you were talking about kind of that second base depth chart. There's some lefties there. Like, he's not going to be special just because he's a lefty bat. Like, what's the optimism that this then leads to some effectiveness from John Singleton?
No, I think that he was going to make the team regardless of what happened, unless he just completely flatlined during spring. He's a left-handed bat, will come off the bench, and they need somebody like that because, as we saw from Joe Espada last year, he likes to go to his bench early, and he will use all four of those bench spots in a game if he has the chance to. So the fact that he had success last year as a pinch hitter, you know, for whatever flaws he might have, he still had an above-average offensive season. It wasn't like a great offensive season by any stretch, but it was above-average. And if you can have an above-average bat like that coming off your bench every single day, that's a huge, huge plus. Now, does the body transformation result into him being a better hitter? We'll have to wait and see, but it certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah. What's the plan with Jose Altuve in left field in terms of getting eyes on him out there?
The plan is for him to play a game at some point this week. Just looking at the schedule, it would seem like Wednesday would be the best opportunity for that, just because it's in West Palm Beach. I don't think Thursday they play in Port St. Lucie. I don't think they're going to make him go to Port St. Lucie to play the outfield for five innings. So I think, if I had to guess, I think he's either in the outfield. I think you see him play in a game either on Wednesday, maybe Friday at the latest. And I think that he's on the same schedule as Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena. So you will see those three guys get into games this week.
All right, Spo.
We'll be there for it.
Oh, yeah. That's the beauty of it. Appreciate Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors having you out there. Speaking of y'all all being out there, spending the house together, what is the what's the plan for attacking today, especially since there's no baseball going on?
Yeah, that's still to be determined.
Party time?
Probably not, but you never know. You never know. Hopefully the weather, I mean, it's not raining right now, but I think that the rain is expected, you know, throughout the day. So hopefully that holds off a little bit. But yeah, it's I'm not the one in charge, so I just kind of go with the flow over here.
Adam's just keeping his head
come
down.
Come on, man.
Adam's just keeping his head
down.
Get
in there and suggest some moves, man. Let's go. Those dudes need a jump start.
I am low man on the totem pole over here, so I just do what I'm told.
All right, so it seems like you're more observer than you are a planner. So at least observe me this. Over under times that people actually get into the lake, I'm setting it at 1.5.
Into the lake?
Yeah.
Zero.
Okay.
We're in Florida. They got alligators here.
Oh, it's no big deal.
All right. There's a sign right at the dock that says beware of alligators, mm-hmm. and there's a smell in that water that says, hey, there's probably alligators in there. So
there's an alligator smell.
Yeah, yes. I would have been out too.
Now Seth is big enough to where he could hold them off.
That's what I'm saying.
The rest of us aren't.
Y'all got muscle. Don't be soft. Get in there. Do it for the people.
Well, I'll tell Seth, and we'll see what happens. And we'll get you guys video of Seth fighting off the alligator.
That's all I'm asking for. That's all I need. All right, Adam Spillane, baseball Spo out there in West Palm Beach, giving us coverage like nobody else can. We appreciate you, my man.
Always, anytime, guys.
There it is. Baseball Spo, man. I'm excited, man.
Wild, man.
Yeah, it's fun. It's very fun. I'm kind of sad they didn't get a little baseball on the first day.
Yeah, I felt bad for them.
Especially, like, look, somebody, they're missing out. I'm glad that they went. I really wish we could be there to be like a jump start for them. Mm-hmm. They're going to sit in the house and watch TV, aren't they?
They sure are.
God, yeah. They sound about right, though, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because this ain't like they just more homebodies.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Y'all got a lake. What is it? Paddle boats that they send those out there? Come on, y'all got
to. I'll be trying to hit somebody town.
Yeah. Do something, you know what I mean? Like Palm
Probably
Beach,
like one time.
Drive to Fort Lauderdale or something, man. Like there's stuff to be done.
Yeah.
Reggie, like, where the hoes at?
It's nice out.
Yeah.
Come on, do something. All right.
Florida, man.
Exactly. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to Spell. We'll be hearing from one of the gentlemen every single day as they are out there in West Palm Beach. Again, thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including let's hear a little bit from Lance McCullers and shout out to the University of Houston getting a big win this weekend. We'll talk about that more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Reginald Atula, and Figgy Fig. And I immediately turn to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, where somebody said, well, I don't want to read that one, but someone from the 281 said, has Cam Smith played much yet? I appreciate them making the distinction. Cam Smith, who came in the Tucker trade, just in case you didn't know. Yes, he came from Chicago in the trade that sent Kyle Tucker there. Has he played much? Looking for any observations that you might have from John in spring. Well, I don't believe that he's played just yet. For some reason, my brain had tricked me into thinking that he had played on Sunday, yesterday, in that game. And I was like, nope, I did not see
it. Yeah, so, I thought he did too.
And I might have been looking at some of his like AAA video, and that might have been what tricked my brain. But looking forward to seeing him out there. One of the things that is abundantly clear, just from videos, and the guys have talked about it already as well, that man big, bro. Like, that is a big, that's a big boy.
That's so an athlete.
Very excited to see him. In fact, get Spo back on the phone.
No,
I'm just playing.
No.
That'd be hilarious. Should we just get him on the phone real quick to ask
tell
him?
Us about Cam Smith.
Do it. Get him on the phone real quick. Let's see. This might be the bit that we do all week. Just,
he's swimming with the Gators.
Hey,
right
just
now.
Get Spo on the phone. Just get Spo on the phone. No. Before we circle back around to that, and speaking of being big dudes, we mentioned it with our guy, Adam Blaine, Big John Singleton. That was a big story this weekend. Apparently, he put in a lot of work to get himself into the best shape of his life, including working out like 4 hours a day, he says.
I mean, he looks it. Like, it's a transformation. I mean, a complete transformation. We don't know how it's going to play out. Big dudes with big muscles don't always, you know, become better hitters when they do that. We've got a lot of evidence of that.
But he lost weight. Oh, wow. Hey.
We're going to do it live?
We're going to do it live.
All right. So,
live. What's up?
All right. This is Adam Spillane. Welcome back onto the program. We forgot to ask you about something, and so we just realized we should call you, and that is your warning that we might be doing this all week. Apologies. Cam Smith, what have you just seen of him? What does he look like? What's the feel?
He's very tall.
Mm-hmm.
And very young looking face.
Okay,
but that's really all that I have for you right now about him. He very much looks the part.
All right,
you're on the elliptical, aren't you?
I am not on the elliptical.
Oh, it sounds like you're a little
out. Wow.
Oh, wow. Man.
All right.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Adam. I didn't mean to call you so that we can insult you. I'm sorry, my friend.
That was John Lopez.
I apologize.
John Philip Lopez.
No, it's very windy out here.
So you're outside. Well, that's nice.
Okay. Yeah. That's the one thing I forgot about West Palm Beach is how windy it is out here.
Okay. A few steps from the Gators, man.
All right. Okay, so I'll need to let me write this down. I need to
you're
make
looking
sure.
Looking at one?
Are you for real?
No, not yet.
Damn it. I was like, all right, let's do live play-by-play of a Florida Gator. All right. Thanks, Spo.
Okay.
So there you go, dear call, dear texter. That's what we can do for you.
That's service with a smile right there.
100%.
Yeah.
And an insult to boot.
Yeah. Was that an insult?
Try not to do that because you're basically calling him fat on the radio.
No, he's always works out.
Hey,
Spo,
it sound like you're
struggling to breathe over there, friend.
You sound out of breath over there. You're like, no, I'm just sitting here.
You all right, bro?
No, I'm just relaxing.
Got my feet up.
This is how I breathe.
One of the worst insults. Oh, you look tired.
Yeah.
He pretty much said, hey, you look tired.
You look tired. I'm just sitting with my feet up.
No, I'm actually fine.
Having a nice tea.
Oh, you need a respirator? You okay? Breathing kind of heavy. You need to get your oxygen.
Yeah.
All right. let's take it to Fertitta Center on Saturday, where the University of Houston Cougars had a top eight matchup. Number five Houston Cougars welcomed in the Iowa State Cyclones number eight on Saturday. I had the great privilege of being in the building, and man, I'll give you some of my passing thoughts about it. But the game itself was delightful, and it was a lot closer than I wanted it to be.
I thought they were going to walk away with it.
That was the expectation. 11.5-point line in the favor of the Cougars, and that's because, in large part, Iowa State was missing their two top scorers. Mm-hmm. I mean, two of the guys that are top that are in the top, I believe, 20 of scoring in the Big 12. Both of those guys missing, and so you look at that and you go, all right, Houston, a lockdown defensive team, that team not even having their two best scorers, this should be a run-and-hide type game, and it felt like it during the first half that they were going to run and hide. That thing became uncomfortably close for the Cougars down the stretch, but they ultimately get the victory.
See Kelvin Sampson with his doesn't matter, Brian, moment afterward? Somebody was asking him about the top
I'm
going
to be
scorers.
Completely honest. I actually didn't because I had to boogie on that day.
Oh, that's right. You went over to
Home Run Dugout. Area 45.
But they were asking about, you know, the not the validity of the win, but just the effect on the win, not having the two top scorers. And he did the old, we're 15-1. We're 15-1.
Which they are. They are. In fact, this win, I can't give you the exact.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
I can't give you the exact.
Doesn't matter,
number,
Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
That's right. In this sense, it's 15-1 in the Big 12 Conference, Brian. That is where your Houston Cougars are, 23-4 overall. But this win actually moved him into, I believe, 17th all-time in career wins in the NCAA. I mean, clearly an incredibly well-regarded coach, and rightfully so. 11 seasons here, which I believe he has 11 20 win seasons.
Yeah.
Like he has been fantastic. And this was another one of those instances. Like this was a pretty fairly well coached game. I think there were some things that I could probably nitpick, but who am I to nitpick?
I have
0 20 win seasons. I just want to make that clear.
Sure.
I'm 100%. I double checked earlier this morning. And so I don't have a lot of room to nitpick, but a 68-59 victory that was a lot closer than that appears. But they got the win, and that's really all that matters. That is the first of a two-step for the Cougars on like the difficult thing, difficult wins or difficult games rather down the stretch before they head to the conference tournament here in about a week or so. And that is tonight. Tonight they are in Lubbock facing off against Texas Tech. That is going to be a real deal challenge for these boys.
Look, that was the squad, and I was watching it over at Home Run Dugout with the boys at their anniversary party. And they just the Cougs are just. Getting, I mean, they've always been, as you pointed out, all the 20 win seasons, you know, such a, you know, a threat come postseason. They do look like a team that's going to be a big time threat to make a big time, you know, run through they're it's all coming together right now.
Especially if you could continue to depend on the law firm of Cryer and Uzan, right? Both of those guys having fantastic offensive games. In fact, they were the offense.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where it felt like a strong 10 minutes. And I don't know that this was actually true because I didn't go back and check the log.
Yeah.
But just viscerally, where I was like, oh, wow, Juwan Roberts touched the basketball and actually had like an offensive attack. They were just, it was all guard play because Iowa State did not allow them to get in. And thankfully, this is a team now that can actually shoot to some effect with those individuals to actually get themselves over. And they did that. Number 5 versus number 9, Texas Tech Red Raiders tonight, 8 p.m. on ESPN. That's much watch basketball. Basketball. Your Cougars still a favorite in this one by 1.5 points. Some other things that are popping. Did you happen to see this? Or actually, before I go there, worth noting, Astros are their game today in West Palm Beach. Postponed because of weather, so they won't play the Marlins. Ronel Blanco will go tomorrow, even though he was supposed to go today. And now I would like to talk a little bit about boxing, where Bivol beat Beterbiev in that match in the main event of that big Saudi card that I was able to watch at Area 45's anniversary party. That was a really fun matchup between like two well matched guys, and because Bivol wins after Beterbiev won the first one.
Yeah.
We're set for a three-peat, I imagine. I think that we'll get the rematch.
Oh, yeah. Two majority decisions going each way in their first two matches. Now, I don't know. A lot of people I've seen like, oh, this is exactly what boxing needs. It is to a degree. You know, I
don't know that this one hits the same spectacle.
Exactly.
Level. Yeah.
Because the familiarity with the, you know, no American per se, you know, that's going to be.
I don't even know that that's needed.
I think it's needed here. I think it's needed here, but it is going to be great for boxing because they're going to have it now. I think Bivol said that, you know, he's going to take some time off. He's got some injuries that he's messing with previous to the fight, but they're going to have a third. They're going to have a third, and it's going to be must see.
Oh, that's what it is. Cam Smith did play Saturday in the split squad.
Okay,
one of the split squad. That's what I was saying. I was like, I thought I saw him. So yeah, apologies on that one. He played on Saturday, and he did indeed walk twice, which, look, that is one of those things that this team needs to get better at, that plate discipline. So that is very encouraging early on for the young cat. Some other things that are going on. This is one I want to mention. If you were watching Oklahoma City, Minnesota last night, you saw something that I saw, which is like these a ad from the Texas Destination Resort Alliance, mm-hmm. which is a political action committee that is backed by the Las Vegas Sands Corporation, which if you're not familiar, they run Sands, but then that's also the family that bought ownership into Dallas Mavericks. This is not the first time that they've done this, but I'm interested. Have other people seen these ads? Because supposedly they've been running for maybe about a month.
I saw them over the weekend. I saw them last week. I almost brought it up during last week's shows because it seems like it's, first of all, the investment is enormous.
Huge.
Like they're doing billboards, they're doing commercials on TV and radio and all that. And I'll go back to what we did talk about briefly. You know, Greg Abbott seems to be a little bit more receptive to the idea. So maybe, and they still got to get through, you know, obviously Lieutenant Governor and all that stuff, but maybe there's some traction here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's very evident. I think in 2021 was the last time, if my memory serves me correctly, mm-hmm. when there was like a big push like this to, clearly the objective is trying to get mm-hmm. legalized gaming in the state of Texas. They're putting this on the destination like that. I thought
and
that
jobs.
Yeah, that framework was interesting. The idea that this is the Texas destination resorts. Mm-hmm. Why is it a destination resort, friends? Because they want to have that gambling, right? But the idea is that, hey, we're going to try and, you know, bring that in. But they're putting it on the idea of like the tourism aspect of it. But really, this is about trying to get gambling in Texas.
Hey.
And I was doing a little bit more research last night. And one of the things that is going to be tough for them is that it feels like they've lost a couple of mm-hmm. politicians in the state legislature who are more amenable to this particular bent. But mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying, and there's clearly, as you mentioned, a huge monetary push behind getting this done.
And I will say, you know, we can kind of, you know, curl our lip a little bit as far as making it a destination. But if they do it here being Houston, Dallas, wherever, it is going to be much more like the Golden Nugget. You know, I had a friend just this week. He goes about once a month just for the pool and the gambling, but for the pool and the golf and all that stuff. So I do think it's going to be more like that.
Yeah. I mean, you get more people like me to go.
Yeah.
Because I don't really gamble or anything, mm-hmm. but as far as like a little mini vacation or staycation, if mm-hmm. it was here.
Can you imagine Galveston? Man, that would be outstanding.
If they put it out in Galveston?
Yeah.
Yeah. Be all right.
Yeah.
Somebody said, interestingly enough, 832 said they've been texting them for months. I didn't realize that it's to that level. But yeah, clearly big money. And so Texas Destination Resort Alliance, now you know at least what you're looking at when they're pushing it. And apparently, you know, Dan Patrick, the lieutenant governor, still remains very influential in this and making it kind of tough. But there is a survey by the University of Houston that was conducted that's kind of pointing to the idea that that, you know, not necessarily as much that there's a decent amount of support
for
this. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Jonathan Alexander of the Houston Chronicle put out a piece just this morning about the five questions for the Houston Texans ahead of the NFL Scouting Combine that's happening in Indianapolis this week. Let's break those down next.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.